I'm excited about this week. Actually, the message, let me tell you a little story. The message came to me on Monday night. So district conference is going on. It was Monday through Wednesday. All the official workers are to be there, were required to be there. So we got there Monday afternoon. There was business. We spent a lot of time in prayer. And so I texted the district superintendent and said, hey, can I just spend tonight? Can I stay in my motel room and just seek the Lord and just be in his presence? He said, sure, go for it. You need it. He didn't say that. So I did that. And so I received the message from the Lord that Monday evening. And it was so cool. Because what happened is, so I got the message and I worked on it and all that. And then I came back here Thursday morning. I opened up emails. And this was the video blog from Dr. Stumbo. And you're going to think that we work together. Or I listened to it and then prepared the message. But here's Doc Stumbo. Go ahead. Let's go with it.
Hello, Alliance family. It's a steamy summer afternoon in Chicagoland. And I'm coming to you today.
Hey, we can just stop that a minute. That's the wrong one. It's all right. It's all good. Hey, there's only happy mistakes in church. Amen? At weddings at church, there's only happy mistakes. The one that was supposed to play is the most recent one, and they don't have it. Don't even look for it. Guys, don't worry about it. It was all me. It was all me. Okay? I'm sure I made the error. It's all me. That computer saw it was Jeff that logged in, and it just went crazy. So, but anyway, what happened is he's at Resonate, and what he's talking about is the Me Too, Me Church Too, and I don't even know what all that stuff means, but he made an apology to all ladies. And you may agree or not agree, but the reality is we are held accountable for past sins of the past. We just are. I never believed that, you know, when all that was going on. But then I came across a passage of scripture in, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter 21 or 23, where King Saul had tried to kill off the Gideonites. And they had already made a covenant to protect the Gideonites. The Gideonites tricked them. You know, they tricked them and deceived them. But they made a covenant with them. Hey, we will protect you. You can be a part of us. And then King Saul went back on that and tried to stomp them all out. You know, if you've made an agreement, even if they tricked you into it, the agreement is the agreement is the agreement. That's just the way it is. So then later on, there's a famine on the land. And King David asks the Lord, what's going on? And the Lord reveals to him that it's what happened to the Gideonites. Gibeonites. All those ites back there. There's too many ites there. Anyway. So, look it up if you want to, or take my word for it if either way. So, David prays, and the Lord reveals to them that it's what Saul attempted to do to the Gibeonites. And so, King David went to them and said, what do we do? And they said, well, we don't have any right to take money or this or that, but give us 7 of the descendants of King Saul, and we will put them to death. Now, these guys didn't do it. They didn't do it. David didn't do it. But there was famine on the land. David didn't do it. These people didn't do it. But then the text says that he gave them over. They sacrificed them to the Lord. And then the Lord lifted the curse. And God began answering their prayers. So uncool. Amen? But what does that teach us? We are accountable for what our forefathers did. We are. Now, to my knowledge, I've never harmed a female. I've never done that other than Lynette because she was my wife and I didn't harm her, but I harmed her by marrying her. You know what I'm saying? Okay. In a moment of weakness, she finally said yes. You know, 8 years in, she finally said yes. And we had a blessed, blessed life together. And to my knowledge, I've never harmed or abused other than my kids. I spanked my kids. When they begged for it, I gave it to them. Okay. All right. Okay, I don't think it is, but by today's standards, yes. Okay, so to my knowledge, by God's grace, I haven't. But you know what? If you have been, I want to apologize. I want to apologize. And we want to make it right, if that's at all possible. If you've been abused or hurt or harmed by someone in this church or another church, I want to apologize. As a man and as a spiritual leader, if that did happen, it was wrong, it was wrong, it was wrong, it was wrong, it was wrong. I don't care what anyone says, it was wrong. I just told someone a couple weeks ago, a young lady, I don't care if you show up in my office buck naked. I need to tell you, go get clothes on and get back in here. I don't care. I'm a pastor. Every lady in here is either my little sister or older sister. Period. Exclamation point. Period. Exclamation point. It is never right to exploit another individual. Ever, 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 ever. And if that's happened to you, I apologize. As a pastor and as a man, please, please, it should never happen. It should never, ever, ever, ever happen. And if it has, if it happened in this church, please come and let me know. And we will do whatever we can, make it right, but we can try and hold accountable and follow biblical procedures. Okay? And the president shared that in his message, the one that I didn't download that I thought I did. But then it goes right along with our message for today. And if we can continue with the PowerPoint, and I'm just going to jump over this stuff and get right into where we were. Oh, by the way, we got to do this. What's that stand for? Excellent, excellent, that's there for. The computer saw me again coming, and that's what my three dots look like this week. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us. This is so true. It is so true. How does that happen? And last week, so Dr. Stumbo this morning, his video blog, again, that all went sideways because it saw me coming. But the title of the message today is Be Imitators of God. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 because that's where we're going to just walk down through Ephesians chapter 5. And the basic theme here is be imitators of God. And it is so cool. The kids didn't leave yet? I thought I dismissed you kids. Kids. Kids go.
I'm sorry. We were
kids go. Kids go. Hop, skip, run, whatever. If kids are still here, you're welcome to leave. Otherwise, leave now or forever hold your peace. You're stuck.
That's my fault.
That's okay. Imitate. To imitate. The scripture says that we are to imitate God. So the first blank, by the way, if you see this color, this by the way, is hot pink, by the way. Just so it stands out, to take or to follow as a model, to take or to follow as a model, imitate. God is beyond our understanding, yet he has revealed himself. He's beyond our understanding. He's bigger than we can ever think, but he has, in my words, he's put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Anyone here like it when the cookies are on the bottom shelf? I love it. Cookies on the bottom shelf. That's what God has done. He's unknowable, yet he has made himself known. He's revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to continue that. It's a little like a double-sided coin, and that's the illustration I'm going to use. It's a little bit like a two-sided coin, and every coin, you guys got coins in your pockets, right? There's a heads and there's a tails. Heads I win, tails you lose. That's the way it's going to be, okay? Heads I win, tails you lose. God is love. But on the other side, God is also holy. God is love, but he's holy. The reality is you are loved. Since I came here, I've been saying, you're not only loved of God, you're delighted of God. And that's truth. That is the absolute truth. You're not only loved of God, he delights in you. He enjoys you. He really does like spending time with you. That's why he chose you before the creation of the world. But also, we are to be holy as well. God loves you, but we are also to be holy. There's two sides to this coin. Because if you only have one side, it becomes very legalistic. If you only have the other side, it becomes cheap grace. It's both sides of the coin. I've been saying till I'm blue in the face, and now I'm not blue in the face yet. That means I'm out of air. But I've been saying since I've been here, from the first Sunday I candidated, God loves you and he delights in you. He loves you and he likes you. And that is a fact. That's a reality. But that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is we are to be holy. And again, we're going to go in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to walk down through these verses. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now, this is so, so, so important. Why does he say be imitators of God as dearly loved children? Every one of you think right now, who is your first hero? Who was your first hero? For me, it was my dad. Ladies, who was your first hero? It's your mom or your dad. You know, I saw they laid a baby down here, and I was wagering money that some lady would pick him up or her up. I'm not sure. It was a baby. Please don't be offended by it. It was a baby. I don't know which it was, boy, girl. It was a baby. What was it? It was a little girl. Okay, it was a little girl baby. I thought for sure a lady would just snatch that baby up and start doing whatever. Who picked her up? A grandpa did. A grandpa did. Anyway, for almost everyone, your first hero is your parent, one of your parents. And you know, with my grandkids, my favorite is, you know, I'll and you know what they'll start doing? Back. And that's the extent of my child caring, you know what, that's the extent of, man, once they do that, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. I'm done. But they mimic. Why does this scripture say, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly children? Because what do children do? They mimic. They simply mimic. God is love. Jesus is love. So what are we to do as children? Mimic the love. Do you see it? I didn't see it for years. All I saw was be imitators of God. I don't know why I put as dearly beloved children. Why do you put that in there? He put it in there because it's our nature. Our nature as children is to mimic those over us, our parents. And your parents are God. It's natural for us. And then he explains it more. And live a life of love. Because what did Jesus do? What did our big brother do? That's the other verse. I grew up with an older brother. Anyone here grew up with an older sibling? It was a blessing and a curse, wasn't it? Mostly a blessing, but sometimes not so much. So Jesus is an older brother. And live a life of love. Just as Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How are we to do it? What are we to mimic? We're to mimic Jesus. And by the way, you know, every day I pray, Lord, I pray that people see Jesus in me and not me. People don't need Jeff. They need Jesus. And I want to walk in death to self and be filled with the Holy Spirit and have Jesus abiding in me so that literally they see Jesus. That's what this is all about. It's as dear children mimic Jesus because he's your bigger brother. And then there's this big thing. Everyone got that one? It's always a problem in Scripture. So here's love, 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 love. Man, I like that part. I love that part. But here's, whenever there's a but, man, look out, duck. Duck whenever there's a but in Scripture, because something is coming. And what's coming? But among you, there must not even be a hint. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. You know, I've been around a lot of people all my life because I grew up in the church. And I would be around some that, you know, on Sunday they're praising the Lord and they're doing all this wonderful stuff. And then I play softball with them during the week. And I'm like, that ain't the same person. Man, that person sounds like a sailor or a mechanic or something. But it sure don't sound like Sunday morning gossip or talk to me. Not gossip, praise and worship to me. They were using Jesus' name, but I think it was a little bit differently. And I'm like, how can that be? No, it's improper. And he goes into it. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. But rather thanksgiving. By the way, you're going to get out early today because I was planning on 12 minutes of my message being Doc. Nor, because I just saw the time, it's quarter till. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. You know, I've heard over the years so many Christians tell jokes that just are not good jokes. I just back away from it. That should not be happening. should not be happening. If you're going to have a joke, it ought to be clean. It ought to be sneaky clean, which are out of place, but rather do thanksgiving. And now here's another one. For of this you can be sure. For of this you can be sure. Now this is where he really gets down. For this you can be sure. Now that he's got our attention. No immoral, impure, or greedy person. Such a man is an idolater. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Gee, what happened to the love? I like the love a whole lot better. How about you? You see, if we're truly in love with God, then we will mimic God and we'll imitate God and He'll be transforming us. That's the truth. But if we're not, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater. Now, this isn't in your notes because it's in green. Here's what one of my profs, Professor Bishop, a crusty little old man at Washington Bible College, I'm sure he's with the Lord now because he was ancient back then. And so I'm sure he's with the Lord. He was the first guy I heard say that idolatry is spiritual adultery. Think about it. Idolatry is spiritual adultery. That's why it's so sinful. Now remember, what the Lord has been beating me up for several years now is Jeremiah 2 verse 13. And here's the two sins. The first thing I have against you is you've left me, you've abandoned me, you've turned your back on me. That's sin number one. Sin number two is you keep turning to cisterns, broken cisterns that can't even hold water. So think about it. Think about it in a marriage relationship. So my wife, and by the way, who is my husband? I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking spiritually. Spiritually, who is my spiritual husband? Someone say that louder. Jesus. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. Israel was the bride of God. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. So here we are. Here we are. We're engaged. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We turn our back on Jesus, and I go over here and indulge in some stupid activity, which is called idolatry or spiritual adultery. Now, I don't know about you, but I would never, ever, ever, ever want to do anything like that to my wife. Would you? Man, I hope you're thinking, I hope I never do that. Just come see me. I'll put you out of your misery if you want. I'm teasing a little bit. Do you see how significant this is? Man, that I'm married to God, and when I turn my back on Him, that's sin number one, and then I go and invest in any cistern. I don't care what the sin is. Lying, stealing, pornography, romance novels, I don't care what it is. It is spiritual adultery. And the scripture says, don't be fooled. There will be no idolaters in heaven. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what the implications are. But can we agree it's not good? It is not good. Now, I'm a sinner telling other sinners what ain't good. Because regularly the Holy Spirit's convicting me, hey, you're leaving me, the source of living water. Why are you going to that stupid cistern? You've been there before. It's rotten, it stinks, and you only feel guilty afterward. Any amens here? Are you with me? So does God love you? Absolute. But know that idolatry literally is spiritual adultery. Because we've left the source of living water. We've turned our back on our husband, God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've turned our back and we're waywardly. So here we have, I got filet mignon at home and I'm going to stop at McDonald's and get a Big Mac? Are you kidding me? Am I making any sense here? You got filet mignon. You've got the best there is in God Almighty, and we're going to stop at a fast food joint and cheat. Just shoot me now. Amen? And he goes on. The passage goes on. This is more of the passage. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. You may think, that's not fair, that's not fair. Well, God loves you too much. He loves me too much. If we start doing that, He's going to judge us to help us come to our senses to return to Him. He loves us too much. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone sell you cheap grace that you can receive Christ and then just live your own life. No, no. That life that He wants to give us is the abundant life. It's love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. It is the abundant life. And you can have that staying here, or you can have that Big Mac that messes stuff up and you feel empty afterward. And now you might think, but, you know, that doesn't make sense. You said God is love. God is love. But think about it. Think about your kids. I have kids. Now, grandkids are a little bit different story. Grandkids, that's the parents' problem. We spoil them, right? If you're old as I am, you get to spoil grandkids. That's the parents. They can take care of it. They can do the mean stuff. I'm going to be Santa Claus. You're going to have to be Scrooge. You know what I'm saying? Just know it. Just expect that from grandkids. But illustration, think about it. Even a grandkid. If I got a grandkid that is blatantly defiant, not that my little ones would ever do that. Blatantly defiant. If you love your child, are you going to discipline and hold them accountable? You have to. The world tells you you don't. The world tells you you don't. But if you love that kid, because if you got a 5-year-old brat and you don't do anything about it, when they're 45, what do you got? A brat. And the punishment just increases. They need to learn those lessons when they're young, not when they're older. I don't know how many meetings I've been in because I've done mediation. And I just look at people and, you know, you've got too much college and not enough kindergarten. Kindergarten, you learn to play. You need to share toys. You got too much college and not enough kindergarten. I'm going to take you back to kindergarten. If you love a child, I'm not talking about beating a child or any of that. You need to discipline the child. Whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. If you're not disciplined of the Lord, you're not loved. Let me tell you, He boxes my ears every day. I know I'm loved. See, there's a little bit of blood on that one, and there's a little behind here. I don't know where it came from. Wasn't the Lord. You know I'm teasing on that one. But whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Parents, you know that you have to discipline your children. You have to. If you do not, you're going to raise brats. And wait till they're teenagers. Oh, what fun that will be. You might as well give up by then, right? It's over.
Unless the Lord intervenes, it's over.
Okay. Now, what's this stand for again? See, that computer thought it would trick you guys, but you are therefore. Therefore. And guess what? It's not even in there. I took it out because I knew you guys would know. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You know, other scriptures in 1 Corinthians, it says, What fellowship does light have with darkness? Doesn't have any. He says, not only you be pure and you be holy and you do right things, don't be an idolater, don't commit spiritual adultery, but don't hang with people that do. Don't hang with people that do. Now, that does not mean you're not to be a witness and to be a friend of non-Christians. You need to be. They're the normal people. They're the normal people. We're the aliens and strangers. Amen? 1 Peter says, we're aliens and strangers. This isn't my home. Lynette's at home. I'm not there yet. There's a car parked in the lower lot this morning. I don't know what they were doing. But I told the Lord, today'd be a good day to go home. I'll go talk to them, because today's a good day to go home. Amen? If I'm acting stupid and fearless, that's because I'm ready to go home. I'm not going to do anything stupid, but if someone else wants to send me home, I'm okay with that. Are you with me? I got the witness to those two men. They were watching the sunrise, is what they said. Okay. Young men watching the sunrise. Right. Right. Two ladies? Maybe. Two guys? I don't think so. I don't think so. But we're strangers and aliens. We're to be witnesses. We're to befriend those people that do not know Jesus yet, so that they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. But don't be partners with them. My family has asked me, because my family have had multiple businesses, and they've said, should we go into partnership with this non-Christian? Why are you asking me? You already know my answer. Scripture tells you. I can't tell you how many young men, young ladies over the year, oh man, I love him, I love her, they're not a Christian yet, but they will be. Can I marry them? Well, I've been praying and asking God if I should. He's not going to answer you, because he already done told you. Don't do it. He already told you. And yes, there, by his grace, there's people who have married a non-Christian and they prayed to receive Christ. By God's grace. But that's not God's plan. That is not God's plan. He already told us, don't be partners with them. And now this is so cool. For you were once darkness. Before I was age 11, I was darkness. I was scared of the dark, but I was darkness too. I wasn't just in darkness, I was darkness. But what's it say now? But now you are light. Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus is the one that also said, you are the light of the world. We were darkness, you pray to receive Jesus Christ, this transformation happens, now you are light. Live as children of light. And then he says, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then he says, find out what pleases the Lord. You know, this is just a truth that only about 7 or 8 years ago I realized. It is possible to please the Lord. It's possible to please the Lord. Hey, the church I grew up in, again, I'm sure they didn't say it, but what I heard was, just wait for the other shoe to drop. Just wait for the other shoe to drop, because he's gonna nail you. That's what I heard growing up. I don't believe that anymore. God loves you. He wants to bless your socks off. Bless your socks off. He loves you and delights in you. But we can find out what pleases. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I would love on Lynette's birthday to give her really nice stuff. Now, she'd get a little bit angry because I always blew the budget. I don't know how to spell budget. I'll confess. I don't know how to spell budget. I went into the bank the other day and I said, you know, ladies, can you link my checking account to my savings account? And two of them just laughed. They just laughed. They said, you don't use a registry. And I had to say, what's a registry? I'm serious. It's scary. Just this morning, I went online. I learned how to go online. I can take out of this and into that online. How cool. Hey, if there's more checks, there's more money, right? I know that's not true. Please don't listen to that. I had a relative that believed that. But you know what? On Lynette's birthday, I delighted. I didn't look at price tags. I looked at what I thought she really liked. I didn't care what it cost because I wanted to bring joy to her heart. I didn't care about the cost. She would get angry at me sometimes, but that's okay. At first, there was joy. But I grew up believing that you couldn't please God. What does it say? Find out what pleases the Lord. It's possible for us to please Him. I don't know about you, but the people I really love, I want to please them. I want to make them happy. I want to give them joy. Amen? Find out what pleases the Lord. And then He tells us. Here's the EG. When you love someone, you do stuff that pleases them. Now we're just going to jump down. We're going to skip a verse. Be very careful then how you live. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Anyone here want to be stupid all your life? I don't. Be wise, not as unwise. Making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. This morning was an opportunity when I went down to talk to them at the car. It was an opportunity. What's this stand for? Therefore. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And this is so cool because He's going to tell us what His will is. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. But here's what the Lord's will is. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what His will is. That's what His will is. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you know what pleases Him. Because the Holy Spirit nudges you. You know, I am certain that it pleased the Lord that I went down and talked to those guys. I didn't even have a gun with me. By the way, if you take a gun with you, it's power evangelism. That was Jeff. That wasn't in the Holy Spirit, just so you know. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we all know this because I've told you it before. Literally, in the original language, it says be being filled with the Spirit. You want to know what God's will is? Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's moment by moment by moment by moment. I don't care how you describe it. I believe I leak. I'm cracked. I leak. I need constant filling of the Holy Spirit. Ongoing filling. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So literally, it's the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, those guys didn't meet Jeff, but they met the Spirit this morning when I spoke to them. Now, how does it happen? How does this happen? First thing is repent. Repent of known sin, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear brothers and sisters, will you bless a defiant child of yours? Will you give them a candy bar? I took someone to Reese's the other day because they were really being good. But you know, if they were being bad, I wouldn't have taken them a Reese's cup. Well, I thought they were being good anyway. That's all that mattered, right? Repent, repent, repent. You know, if you and I are intentionally, knowingly living in sin, you can't ask God's blessing. It just doesn't work. Nowhere in Scripture does God bless sinful behavior. It just doesn't work. I don't know how many couples over the years, they're living together and they want me to officiate at their wedding. If you're doing that, please don't ask me to do your wedding. Because all you're going to hear is, sorry, I can't. And you're going to say, why? And that'll give me a great opportunity to let you know that God will not bless sin. God will not bless sin. Nowhere in Scripture does God bless sin, known sin. If I'm walking in known sin, He will not bless me. Our former president, he coined a word. He said, get into a blessable position. Make sure you have blessability in your life. It's not even the word, but it's a great thought. Are you walking in a blessable position? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Because if you have known sin, and I'm telling you, many of you come to me and say, I don't hear his voice, I don't this, I don't that. For some of us, it's because we're playing with sin. We're playing with sin. We're straddling the fence. We want what God has for us, but we also want this stuff. We're straddling the fence. You can't straddle the fence. You can't. Now, there's sin in my life I don't even know about yet. Jesus takes care of that. All I have to do is live in the light. If we confess these sins of us, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, these sins of us, and purify us from all sin. I only have to live up to the light. But if I have known sin, you might as well not even ask for God's blessing, because it ain't going to work. Your kid comes strolling up to you, defiant. Can I have ice cream? You going to give it to him? If you love them, you're not. And God loves you too much. So the first thing is repent. Then ask. Luke 11, 11 through 13. I love this passage. If you being evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to you good gifts? The Holy Spirit when you ask. Now, I think I'm a pretty good grandpa. I gave my granddaughter my 8mm Mauser last year. Man, that was a great gift, I think. Put a shock thing on the back of it, bought a new scope for it. Man, she is ready to, if it's brown, it's down. Hey, if I'm a bad grandpa and I can give a good gift like that, how much more will the Father in heaven give to us the Holy Spirit when we ask? Are you with me? Ask, ask, ask. But then it's not just asking. Deuteronomy 4:29. Now, the Israelites were being punished. But then this comes along and says, if you will seek me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, if you will pursue me with all of your heart, then I will be found. It's not just this magic of, oh, please forgive me and bless me. And no, we need to seek him, seek him, seek him with whatever it takes. It's not just a magical prayer. He's looking at our heart. And if you don't have a heart that's there, you know what the prayer ought to be? God, give me a heart that seeks you. I don't have it right now. Please, so transfer my heart that I seek you with all of my being. I pray that almost every day. And here's the last thing. But the typical person, I read this years ago. I love it. $3 worth of God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a warm cup of milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough to make me love a person of color or to pick beets with a migrant. I want the warmth of the womb, not the new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. That's the typical person. I hope none of us here are typical. That's the typical. I hope none of us. So my question, how much of God do you really want? How much? Table talk this week. Who did you first imitate and why? Second table talk. What did you think about the two-sided coin? Third, according to this passage of Scripture, how serious is sin? And the final one, how important is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Please ask those questions among yourselves during your lunch. Or sometime, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, please, please deliver me from wanting just $3 of you. I want all of you. all of you, all of me. I want all in. I again, before my brothers and sisters, I ask forgiveness for leaving you, turning my back on you, and turning to stupid, broken cisterns. Please forgive me for idolatry. Please forgive me for spiritual adultery. Please continue to reveal to me the specific ways that I do that so that I can confess them, forsake them, and then I can ask for your presence and I can seek you with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength like a deer panting for streams of living water. Please continue your work in each one of us. We are so thankful. We are so thankful that you love us, that you delight in us. And I thank you that you haven't given up on us, but you continue your work in each one of us to form Christ in us. Holy Spirit, please have your way, have your will. Draw us to yourself however you choose. But please, deliver me and deliver us from just $3 of God. Deliver us from mediocrity. Please. Please. Father, in your name, Lord Jesus, with anticipation, looking forward to what you're going to do, in your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.